for fear of the Jews, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now watch verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it with linen clothes and with spices, as a manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man yet laid. There they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Now we understand Nicodemus in John chapter 3 is what we've been preaching the last few weeks. In John chapter 3, has three times he's mentioned in our Bible. John 3, I call that he is discerning Christ. He comes to him in John 3 and says, "We know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And the reason I say he is discerning Christ, he is trying to find out more about him. He is trying to learn about him. He is trying to find out just exactly who is this man named Jesus. What are these miracles he has done? What is this message that he is declaring? Who is Jesus? And of course, we remember we dealt with the fact that Nicodemus was religious. He had a reputation. He was rich, but he was restless, because the Bible said that he came to Jesus by night. And riches and reputation and respect will not bring you peace when you lay your head on your pillow at night. And so he is discerning Christ in John 3. I do not believe, and I wouldn't argue with you, but I do not believe that Nicodemus got saved in John 3. I think he still had some questions. I think he still had some doubts. I think he's still trying. You've got to put yourself in Nicodemus' shoes, that all of his life he has been taught that I am to keep the law in order to be saved. And now here is this man telling me I need to be born again. He's not just going to flip over just like that. We do have the truth. But it's like somebody coming in here telling us that for all these years you believed that Bible's Word of God, but that's not true. This is the way. We'd have a hard time swallowing that. And I'm glad we ain't got to worry about that, because we do have the truth this morning. That's where Nicodemus at. He's still mulling some things over his mind. He's not an ignorant man. He is a very wise man. He is a very studious man. He's a very learned man. And so, I don't think he got saved in John 3. The next time you find him is in John chapter 7. John chapter 7, the Pharisees have once again sought to try to catch Jesus in a situation. They were always trying to trick him, trying to trip him up. And so they sent officers to arrest Jesus, and the officers come back saying this: "Never a man spake like this man." They said, "We've never heard anybody speak like Jesus spoke." Amen. And I want to testify, I've never met anybody like Jesus. There's no book like his book. There's no bride like his bride. There's nobody like his body. There ain't nobody like Jesus. Amen. And I'm grateful for the difference that Jesus Christ makes in an individual's life. But we find there in John 7 that while they're discussing this, while they're arguing this, that Nicodemus speaks up. And in John chapter number 7 and verse number 50, the Bible said, "Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went to his own house. In John 3, he is discerning Christ. But in John chapter 7, he is defending Christ. He is coming to the defense of the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you know you could know about Jesus and you could even defend Jesus and still not be born again? There's a lot of guys on the internet and that want to speak for Jesus, but I always ask them, where do you go to church? Where's your local assembly? You've got all this knowledge. You've got all these, and some of them are interested to listen to, but they got all these things up here, but they are not plugged into a body. They are not plugged into a church. How do we know Nicodemus got saved? I believe John 19 tells us. See, in John 19, he is not discerning Christ, and he is not defending Christ, but he is dedicated to Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that he truly got born again? Now, watch this now. By how he responded to the body of Christ. How do you know Nicodemus got in, preacher? Because how he responded to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're talking about the Lord's physical body. He went there with Joseph of Arimathea to take the body of Christ off of the cross, to anoint it with myrrh and aloe, and to place it in Joseph's borrowed tomb. Somebody said, why was it a borrowed tomb? When you're only going to need something 3 days, there ain't no sense buying one, just borrow one. Amen. And so they laid him in that tomb, and Nicodemus shows up. But here's my point. Ephesians 4 teaches us that the church is called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you how to know somebody's really saved or not. How do they respond to the church? How do they respond to the body of Christ? What do they think of the church? Hey, I love the church this morning. Amen. I thank God. Somebody said, are you talking about the local church or the universal church? Amen. Because when I got saved, I got put in the universal body of Christ. I've got brothers and sisters in other parts of the country and in other parts of the centuries that I've never met, but they've been to the same Calvary, they believe the same gospel, and they're born again. But I do believe in a local New Testament assembly, amen. You are sitting in one this morning, a local New Testament Bible preaching church, amen. And I'm glad I'm a part of that. A friend of mine wrote this week, and I was trying to find him. He said, thank God for the church. In a day when there's so much criticism of the church, I want to remind you there is no entity like the body of Christ. You better think long and hard before you walk away from the church and the family that God has placed you in. It was the church that prayed for me when I was a hell-bound lost sinner that had no desire within myself to get right with God. It was the church that took me in when I got saved and treated me like I'd always been part of the family. It was the church that helped me and prayed for my wife when we were dating and when we got married. It was the church that visited the hospitals during times of sickness and childbirth. It was the church that allowed me to start teaching Sunday school class when in reality there were more others that were qualified. It was the church that asked me if I'd like to join the choir. It was the church that prayed for my children. It was the church where I heard the word of God. It was the church that commissioned me as a gospel preacher. It is the church that allows me to exercise my call. It is the church that my wife and I will grow old in. It is the church where I want to raise my babies. It is the church that will be there when our world falls apart. And it is the church that I will spend eternity in heaven with. Thank God for the church. I wouldn't give you any time. Scott Dotson wrote that. I wouldn't give you any time for anybody this morning that don't love the church that claims to be saved. You got this crowd, I feel like preaching this morning, man. You got this crowd that says, well, preacher, I love Jesus, but I just don't love the church, and I'm not going to be part of a church. That's hogwash. Japanese, that's hoggy-washy, amen. There ain't no truth to that whatsoever. I tell you, Jesus, the Bible said in Ephesians 5, he loved the church, and he gave himself for it. You can't separate Jesus from the church. Amen. Thank God this morning we are a church. We are the bride of Christ that can never be divorced. We are a battalion that can never be defeated. And we're a body that will never decompose. Amen. We are a church. We are part of the body of Christ. When I say church this morning, I'm not talking about a social group. I'm not talking about a civic gathering. I'm talking about a congregation of born again, blood washed, baptized, Bible toting believers that gather in Sunday after Sunday with the Word of God and Wednesday after Wednesday. We have church around here on Wednesday. Some of you didn't know that. I thought I'd let you know. The reason I don't think you know that because you never show up. Amen. So I thought I'd let you know. Amen. We have church. And by the way, one service ain't more important than another. Can I get an amen out of that? We're just going to pull the stops out and just preach on everything that moves this morning. And I might bump a few things and preach on it too. Amen. I tell you, we ought to be faithful. We ought to be involved in the church. Amen. Why? Because Jesus gave himself. He didn't give himself for the club. And he didn't give himself for a party somewhere. He gave himself for the church. Amen. The church of the living God. The Bible said, Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Nicodemus, how do you know Nicodemus got in? Because how he responded to the body of Christ. And I'm picturing that to the church this morning. I'm picturing that. This is the rest of the story in Nicodemus' life. How did he show? Why did Nicodemus show? Let me give you three or four things this morning. I'm going to try to about why Nicodemus showed up. This ain't going to be expositional, but it's going to be intentional. All right. Notice, first of all, he was infatuated with the body of Christ. Here's what I mean by that, being infatuated. He couldn't stay away. I'm telling you, it's a bad day when he shows up here in John 19. May I remind you the context of John 19? Jesus has just been beaten, bruised, and battered, and crucified for the sins of the world. But you know what? That didn't stop Nicodemus from showing up. He had, first of all, he had a desire to be with the body of Christ. Do you got a desire for the church this morning? Do you have a desire for the church? Do you have a desire to be in the house of God? I tell you, that's one of the ways I know Nicodemus got born again, because he desired to be with Christ. He desired to identify, to be infatuated with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only his desire, but his drawing. Here's what I mean by that. He showed up. He just didn't say, boy, I love Jesus. You going to be at church Sunday? No, we got something going on. Amen. I love Jesus, but you going to be back Sunday night? No, Sunday night. Man, Sunday night, you've asked me to come on Sunday morning, much less Sunday night. I love Jesus. Hey, we got church Wednesday night starting at 7. You going to be here? No, I've worked all week. I'm tired. The Lord understands. No, he don't. Neither do I. Everybody in this building works except for Eric. He's retired, amen, amen. But what I'm saying this morning, everybody's tired. Everybody has a long week. And you don't have no more hours in the week than the rest of us do. Amen. Everybody's on the same 24-hour day period. Amen. Everybody's tired. Everybody gets weary. But you know what? At church is not about you feeling good. It's about you not being selfish, putting your feelings aside, putting your tiredness aside, grabbing your Bible, getting in your car, and getting in your pew, and finding your place in the house of God. He showed up. His drawing, his diligence to show up on this day would take diligence. Because it ain't popular to be identified with Christ on this day. I mean, they're looking for who they want to kill next. And by the way, it's never been popular to be a part of the church. Church has been persecuted, been attacked, been maligned. They put it, ran it underground, but they never ran it out of town. Amen. Thank God the church has always been standing. And by the grace of God, the church will always stand. So I said, well, this church wouldn't be anything without me. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how well the church would do without you. Amen. This church would be fine without me. Probably go further. Appreciate nobody saying amen up there. Amen. Help my self-ego a little bit. I'm saying the church ain't about you and I. We are a part of this body. We are a part of this church. We are together in this thing. It takes diligence. Amen. It takes desire. It takes drawing. It takes setting your alarm. Amen. Setting your alarm on Saturday night. Amen. It takes a choice. Amen. To come to the house of God. You're not late to work. You're not late to school. Why does church get a pass on it? You're teaching your children. You're teaching your family. You're teaching your spouse that church is down here and all this other stuff is right here. Amen. Amen. Boy, it always gets quiet when you preach on being on time. Amen. But I'm still going to preach on it because it's right. Amen. Y'all better be glad I didn't pull this out last Sunday. On Easter Sunday, we had all them visitors. Amen. I'm just telling you this morning that he was infatuated. He wanted to be here. I don't care if you got to lay out. We lay out our clothes on Saturday night. We iron our clothes on Saturday night. Amen. We get our stuff. Seidler, if he had his way, he'd have his suit laid out Tuesday. He wants his stuff. Don't he look sharp? Stand up, side. Everybody see your suit today. Look how sharp at it. There you go. That's right. Look out, ladies. Every woman's crazy about a sharp-dressed man. Ain't that right? All right. He's Montgomery through and through. Bless his heart. I'm telling you, hey, lay out your clothes. Iron your clothes. Make sure you've got everything you need so you can get out the door and get to the house of God. Church starts at 10 around here. Amen. Not at 11. Starts at 10. Amen. That's when the church meets. Amen. Amen. Church starts at 5:30 tonight. Church starts at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Amen. Amen. It's amazing. I'm coaching ball with Daxton, and I'm enjoying it. We're 1-4, but you know what? At least we're not on zero and five. Amen. At least we won our first game, and we're going to come back. And they had a 24-year-old pitching against us Thursday night, but let's not talk about that. All right. But it's amazing those parents in sports, and I'm glad. But they'll spend hundreds of dollars. I'm talking about, and I've not, okay? I bought stuff from Mike Austin that Chandler wasn't using no more, amen? But, I mean, I was at Academy the other night buying some stuff for Daxton and for the team, and I asked her, I said, man, this stuff's crazy expensive. She said, I just had a mama come in here and spend $600 on bats and balls. I was like, $600? That kid probably can't hit the broadside of a barn with a 2x4. A $600 bat ain't going to make the difference. It don't matter if it's a $39 bat or $600 bat. But you know, we don't mind spending money on that. We don't mind putting investment in that. Well, what about getting them here for Sunday school? What about getting them here for preaching? What about getting them here for Wednesday night? Those are the important things. I love ball. I mean, if you don't believe it, come watch us. Had an umpire come in the other night and said, I love your energy. I love your energy. I said, you ought to come here and preach sometime. I'm not against that. I am against if you put it in front of church. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, this morning, he was infatuated with the body of Christ. Does it mean anything to you? Does the church mean anything to you? I'm telling you, at the end of the day, my boy's not going professional. He's not. Because I don't want him to. I don't want him to have a scholarship and make a bunch of big money and hate God and go away from God. And a parent that loves God shouldn't want that for their kid either. Amen. I like ball. We watched it the last two nights, but at the end of the day, there ain't nothing but drunks and whoremongers and idolaters. That's all they are, playing ball on the Lord's Day. Amen? That's all it is. I don't want my boy to grow up and be that. I want him to grow up and be a Christian. I want him to grow up and be saved and love God and go to church. Children are arrows in our hand. Which way are you aiming them? Amen. He was infatuated with the body of Christ. Number two, he was identified with the body of Christ. I've already emphasize this a little bit. He wasn't ashamed to show up. Y'all still with me? Y'all ain't mad at the preacher, are you? I'm gonna preach it anyway. I'm not trying to be rude or hard, but I've been real sweet. I thought I've been sweet, maybe not. But I'm telling you, you just gotta lay some things out sometime. We've got lazy. We've got lazy over here at Safe Harbor. After 2020, we got put out in that parking lot. Everybody come in. We was all excited. There was a drive. There was a push. There was excitement. And now we just roll right back where we was. Just right back where it was again. I tell you, we need to light a fire and get passionate and get involved in the church, get involved in the things of God. I'm respectful of your time. You won't find a preacher that's more time. I'm probably too time conscious, to be honest with you. I try to be conscious of your time. I try to study and prepare and give you as much meat as I can in 30 or 35 minutes. And I'm telling you, you ought to be respectful of the house of God and be the thing, and willing to be identified with the church. When did he show up? He showed up when it was dark. We know according to the Bible that in our text, we compare these Gospels, that Jesus was laid in that tomb in the evening tide. But I'm not talking about the sun setting in Jerusalem. I'm talking about it was dark spiritually. And I'm telling you, when you need to be identified with the church, it's when it's as dark spiritually as what it is right now in this world. We're living in some dark days spiritually. And if there's anywhere you need to be in these days, it's in the house of God, where the gospel light is shining out, where the old lighthouse is still declaring the gospel. That's where you need to have your family. That's where you need to have your children. That's where you need to cultivate your marriage. It's around the church of the living God. He showed up when it was dark. He showed up when it was discouraging. Here's what I mean by discouraging. Where's all them people at that Jesus healed? Where's all those blind men? Where's Lazarus? Where's Mary? Where's Martha? And 12 disciples, except for John, they all hiding out. Judas went out and hung himself. Where's everybody at? What are you going to do when your buddy leaves the church? What are you going to do with your friend? I know what's happened here. They go with them. But what I point, what are you going to do when your best friend or somebody you love leaves the church and gets away? You're going to quit too? Jesus looked at that crowd in John chapter 6. Many disciples that day left and walked no more with him. Jesus looked at his 12 and said, will you go away also? Peter said, or whom shall we go? We ain't got nowhere else to go. That's the words for eternal life. Nicodemus showed up. I'm sure he was around the crowd, them big multitudes. He heard Jesus teach. He'd heard him speak. He'd seen miracles. But now there ain't no big multitude. It's just him and Joseph. I've heard preachers lambast Joseph Arimathea being a secret disciple. Well, and they say, well, he shouldn't have been secret about it. Well, he showed up when none of the rest of them did. I like it myself. And he provided a place to lay the body of the Lord. We ain't talking about their tomb. We're talking about Joseph's tomb. Joseph got a pretty good deal. He donated and got it back and got a tax write-off. And it was clean when he got it back. I'm just telling you this morning that he showed up when it was discouraged. He showed up when it was despised. They hated Jesus. They mocked him. The body of Christ was damaged. They had attacked the Lord Jesus, thrust that spear in his side, put the crown of thorns on his head, the nails in his hands and feet, tortured him. But Nicodemus said, I'm not ashamed to be identified. I'm not ashamed to be identified with him. I'm not ashamed to show up. Nobody else may want to show up, but I'm going to show up. And I'm telling you, there's been some times when I've crawled in here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, and the crowd's been low, and maybe for some good reasons, maybe not for good reasons. But you know what? At the end of the day, it don't matter if 500 show up, a house full, or a handful shows up. I want to make sure I'm identifying with the body. I want to make sure I'm identifying with the church, because I've seen what Jesus has done for me. He was identified with the body of Christ. He was infatuated with the body of Christ. Number three, he was impacted by the body of Christ. Why was he so infatuated? Why was he willing to be identified with the body of Christ? Because the body of Christ had done a whole lot for him. Are y'all picking up what I'm laying down in this? What had got him? Well, his words that he spoke got him. He said, you're a teacher come from God. He's among that crowd. Said, I've never heard no man speak like this man. I've never heard nobody talk like this man. You know why I love the church? Because I've never heard words like I've heard down at the church. Amen. I didn't hear you must be born again down at the ball game. I don't hear it anywhere else. But I do hear it down at the church, at the house of the living God. Thank God for the Bible we preach around here. Eh? I ain't saying thank God for me, but thank God for the Bible that is preached here today. I'm not a great preacher, but I'm a Bible preacher. You can say a lot of things about me, but one thing I hope you'll say is I preach the Word of God. I may not be a great preacher. I may not be a gifted preacher, but I want to be a Bible preacher, amen. His words impacted him. His works impacted him. He said, don't make do them miracles, except thou be with him. He said, I've not only heard what you have to say, sir. I've seen what you can do. And I want to thank God for what I've heard down at the church. But I want to thank God for what I've seen happen down at the church. Amen. I've seen sinners get resurrected from death and the life. I've seen families grow together. I've seen children learn Bible verses. I've seen choir members sing. I've seen people worship and praise God. I can't stay away. It's made a lasting impact in my life. Hey, the church is important. I tell you, some of you have grown up in church your whole life. You ought to talk to some of these folks that didn't have that. Amen. You ought to talk to some of these folks that didn't have that godly heritage. They wasn't raised going to Sunday school. And you ought to thank God that you have that privilege, that you have that honor, because they'd give 1,000 lifetimes to have what you take for granted every day. Some of you kids growing up in this church, some of you young people, you come to church, you come to Sunday school, you come to revival meetings, and it just goes through a routine, it's just expected. Hey, don't take that for granted. There's so many people that don't have that opportunity. Brother Barry Philbeck says this all the time, people will live and die in this city and never be in a service like you've been in this morning. There are people that go to church that will never be in services like we've had here. We take that for granted. We take the preaching for granted. We take the choir for granted. We take the pastor for granted. We take the church members for granted. We take everything for granted. But you realize it could all be gone just like that. I'm not being rude or crude this morning, and I would never disrespect the memory of great men of God, but there is no Highland Park Baptist Church this morning. Lee Robertson, pastor 40-plus years, a great church. It's gone. It don't even exist anymore. It's where Preacher Sanford graduated Bible College. It's not even there. What happened? Somebody took it for granted. Northside in Charlotte is a shell, not even a shell of what it used to be. That big old round church on the side of the interstate under Sugar Creek Road used to be packed every Sunday with thousands of people with an old-fashioned gospel preacher named Jack Hudson that preached the Word of God, and hundreds were saved and missionaries were sent out, just like from this church. And now it's a contemporary rock band on the stage. I stood on the platform of the old Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, and saw a blacked out ceiling and a drum and rock equipment on the platform. And I was standing in the spot where Lester Roloff and J. Harold Smith and Oliver Green and those men of God stood and preached. And now it's just a conglomeration of everything. And it could be one day, if we don't start identifying and getting impacted and getting involved in this place, it could be the ceilings are blacked out here and there's some rock band up on this platform. Because we took it for granted. It could happen. It's happened to better churches than this one. It's happened to better preachers than this preacher. Amen. I don't know if you catch the severity of that, It's a real danger. It's a real danger. You know, every church is one preacher away from compromising. You hear me? So I said, well, you think you're holding back the gates? No, I got some good men standing with me. But all it takes is one bad leader to come in. And I'm not leaving this morning. Some of y'all went, shucks. I'm not going anywhere, amen. But here's my point this morning. We better be real careful and not take this for granted. Better take care of it. Better cherish it. Better love it. I'm going to tell you where marriage is. I'm just going to preach this morning. I'm going to tell you where marriage is getting in trouble when the spouses take one another for granted. I'm going to tell you when children and parents get in trouble when they take each other for granted. I'm going to tell you when churches get in trouble when we take one another for granted. We don't think much of it. We don't think, well, the preacher's always going to be there and the choir's always going to sing. And that person's, we're just here, Miss Michelle and Miss Patty and Brother Charles and Brother Richie, they're always going to have a word of testimony. I ain't got to worry about doing anything. They're always going to testify, and the choir's always going to be up there, and we're always going to sing I'm Blessed and bring our offering down, and we're always going to have a revival in June, and we're always going to have Timothy. It's just, I'm telling you, man, it ain't always going to be like this. There are some great days around here right now. We better not take it for granted because God might move His candlestick. He looked at that church in Revelation and said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because I have left thy first love. I'm going to tell you this morning, I can't do it all myself. I got to have some help. Hey, man, I got to have some involvement. And I appreciate the help that we do have. But I'm not just talking about rolling. I need people to labor in prayer. I need people to get involved. I need people to get involved in the service, not checking their watch or checking the scores or going to sleep or not paying attention or not being involved. No, we ought to come to church. We ought to come in engaged and ready to receive what God has for us. Let me give you this last one and I'm done. There are more ways than one. He was infatuated with the body of Christ. He was identified with the body of Christ. He was impacted by the body of Christ. But here in our text this morning, he was invested in the body of Christ. Now, our text tells us, y'all still with me? Are y'all catching my burden this morning? I've had this stirring on my heart for about a week now. He comes, this investment. Notice the expense of this investment. The Bible says he brought myrrh and aloes about 100-pound weight. The expense of it, and then the expression of it. Here's what, by the way, this expense, this in your notes, I read this, and there's a link in here. The spices are estimated in our time and our economy to be worth between $150,000 and $200,000 worth of spices and myrrh that Nicodemus brought. Remember we said he was one of the three wealthiest men in Jerusalem? Spent $150,000 to $200,000 on myrrh and aloe. Of course, in this day, they did not have the embalming facilities that we have today. They would bury somebody the day they died. John 11 is a picture of that when Lazarus died. Luke chapter 7, when that widow of Nain's son died, they was carrying him out that day. So they would often take myrrh and aloe and anoint the body and wrap them and put those cloths on them so they would not smell the stench of the body decaying. Of course, we know Jesus' body would not decay. That would not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. But Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea are doing the customary thing when someone dies. The expense and then the expression. I was reading about this and I'm about done. I hope y'all have caught my burden. Let me say this. When I preach sermons like this, usually the ones that come to the altar are the ones that's already caught my burden. The ones that are already involved. The ones that are already with me. They're the ones that come first. I told my wife, sometimes I'll say, no, you go back. You're good. You go back. You need to come, and you need to come, because you're not doing anything. But you can't do that as a pastor. That'll get you in evangelism or mission work real quick. Amen. David Epps said, I gave up pastor and went to jail. Amen. So there's all truth in that. But that myrrh and aloe, I read this. The average amount of myrrh and aloe they would use. I'm gonna do something to make every Baptist feel good. Watch this right here. You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. The average amount of myrrh and aloe they would use on somebody that had died was 1 pound. Somebody died, the average amount, they take 1 pound of myrrh and aloe and anoint that body. I read if a person was wealthy, they would use 20 pounds of myrrh and aloe. Josephus, who was a man that lived during the times of Christ, wrote a history book. When he died, they anointed him with 40 pounds. But that was the highest. Did you read what our Bible said that Nicodemus brought? He brought 100 pounds. Now, I'm going to do something I preach against unless I'm doing it. And that's supposition. Because the Bible won't tell us this. But we know Brother Richie had to get that stuff from somewhere. He just didn't have that in a barn somewhere, 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe. So Brother Charles, I'm just thinking he probably had to go to the local apothecary and buy those ingredients, those things. So, I'm going to sound like Phil Kidd for a minute, but let me have your imagination for a second. Okay, I'll give it back. I'll give it back. Don't worry, all right? But I see Nick, he had to get it somewhere, okay? He goes in this proprietor store and says, you know, sir, we've had a death. I need to get some myrrh and aloe. And I'm thinking if the average was a pound, then maybe they had a package. Maybe they said, okay, this is our customary, when somebody dies, this is our customary package. I said, Mr. Nicodemus, here's a pound of myrrh and aloe. And Nicodemus said, no, I'm going to have more than that. He said, well, sir, I wouldn't want to offend you. Maybe you are a wealthy person. Perhaps one of your wealthy friends died. Our wealthy package is 20 pounds. We have this right here. He said, no, he's worth more than that. And that guy scratched his head. So, sir, I've heard of 40 pounds, but I've never seen much more than that. Just who is this? Whose body are you anointing? He said, well, sir, I'm going to tell you, I ain't never met a man like this man. In fact, the first time I met him, I was his enemy. And I come to him by night. And I come to him with some questions. And I come to him asking him some things. You know what he did? He spoke kind to me. He reasoned with me. He told me, you must be born again. Sir, you know what he told me? I know what, just work with me. You know what he told me? He told me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, have everlasting life. Sir, I ain't never heard no man like this. I ain't never met no man like this. I've never seen what a man could do like this man. He's worth more than 1 pound to me. He's worth more than 20 pounds to me. He's worth more than 40 pounds to me. Give me, I need 100 pounds. I need 100 pounds. He means a lot to me, and I want him to know how much he means to me. Now, we talk about Jesus carrying the cross up Golgotha's hill. Nicodemus is carrying 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe up Calvary's hill. I don't know how it went. I don't know. I don't know if he's got it in a bag. I don't know if he's got it in boxes, but I see him walking up that hill. Joseph says, you need some help with that? Nope. I don't need no help with this. I'm taking this to him myself. I'm going to make this climb myself. After all Jesus has done for me, he is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He carried that cross up this hill for me. I'm going to carry this myrrh and aloe up this hill for him and let everybody know I'm identifying with this man. I love this man. This man done for me what nobody else has done for me. And I want everybody to know I'm identifying with him. I'm telling you this morning, we come to church, we ought not help to have somebody else carry our myrrh and aloe. Oh, we shouldn't wait for somebody else to testify. Oh, we shouldn't wait for somebody else to praise God. Oh, but we ought to come in and say, you know what? He's done so much for me. I've never met a man like Jesus. He's never done for me what nobody ever done for me, what Jesus has done for me. And I want everybody to know I identify with him. He is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my worship. He's worthy of my adoration. He is worth it all. Preacher, he means a lot to me. You won't even come back on Wednesday nights. Don't give me that. You won't be here tonight. Amen. So I say, I ain't liking it because it's the truth. I'm telling you, does he not mean enough to you to show up tonight? He not mean enough to you to show up Wednesday? Does he not enough mean enough to you to bring your Bible and follow along and say amen and worship? Does he not mean enough to you? Nicodemus said, I'm telling you, he's worth more than 1 pound. He's worth more than 20 pounds. I need 100 pounds. He mean anything to you? Peter said this, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. You know why he's not precious to you? I've sent them to believe. I ain't preaching doubt this morning. Y'all know me better than that. But I'm saying the reason he don't mean something to some people, because they've never been born again. Some people, you're like a sailboat, or you're like a one fellow said not sailboat, safety matches on the, you remember them matches? I think another illustration. You remember them matches that are safety matches? They only strike on their own box. Y'all remember those? I don't know if they have them now. That's the way some of you are. You can't worship unless somebody else worships. You can't say amen unless your favorite song is being sung, unless your favorite preacher is preaching. You can't get involved. That is not the way church ought to be. There ain't no fanfare that day in John 19. There ain't no big crowd. There's two men and a dead Savior. And Nicodemus says, I want him to know how much I love him. Now, he didn't stay. By the way, Mary anointed him before he went to the cross. And Nicodemus adorned him before he went in the cemetery. He come out smelling good on resurrection morning. But you know, that ain't the last time the body of Christ showed up, because when John saw him, Revelation 1. Hey, I know the church looks bad now. I'm done. Come on, Brother Matthew. I know the church looks bad now. I know things look dark now. And I know that night when Nicodemus showed up and identified with the body of Christ, boy, it looked bad. It was beaten and battered and bruised and tortured. But John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day in Revelation 1. And he turns around and looks. And when he saw him, he did not look anything like he did in John 19. In fact, he looked a whole lot different. And I know the church don't look like much right now. It looks like our numbers are getting smaller everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, every preacher I preach for, I ask them, how's church doing? We're doing okay. We're not as running as what we mean as we said. We're doing okay. Everywhere I go, God purging things out. Everywhere I go. I'm telling you right, the church may look rough right now, but you wait till she gets to the other side. Because Paul says she's going to be a glorious church. Glorious. Without, free from guilt and stain. I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm preaching to you. Where is the church at on your level of commitment? Hey, man, where is it at? We want our church to go forward. I do. I talked about witnessing this morning, how not to do it and how to do it. We're going to expand that even more next week. We're going to try to get Charles saved next week. Y'all pray. Amen. But what I'm saying this morning is I want to see people saved. I want to see people, the church grow as the Lord wills. But it's going to involve some getting. It's going to have to take some getting involved. Getting invested. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about worship. Not waiting on somebody else. Not waiting on somebody else testifies. Not waiting on somebody else to go to the altar. Who's going to lead the way? Let's stand. I appreciate your attention this morning. That's the rest of the story in Nicodemus' life. How about you this morning? What does the church mean to you today? What's your investment? What's your involvement? What's your infatuation? What's your desire with the church today?